and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 15. And this is Paul praying. And chapter 14 is a chapter of Paul kind of helping guide the church at Corinth, because they were a really spiritual church and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all spoke with other tongues, but what they'd come to do is they'd come together and that's all they do is pray in tongues. And I like praying in tongues, and I don't mind people praying in tongues out loud in service, but I don't like it when I'm preaching. Why? Because it's out of order. Right? God's trying to get a message across, and so see what I'm saying? So that's what was happening, right? They were praying in the Spirit too much, and Paul was straightening them out. But listen to what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will the people who occupy the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with you more than you all. In other words, if you're together in a group and there's a message that's trying to be given out, if you're praying in the Spirit, and somebody comes in and doesn't know anything about that, they're not going to be built up, right? You'll be built up, but they're not going to be built up. But he says, it's so good. He says, if you pray in the Spirit to give thanks, you give thanks well. In other words, and we looked at this last week in Acts chapter 10, it said that they, you know, this is Gentiles and they were amazed and all that, but it said that they came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to magnify God. How do people know that they were magnifying God? I just have a hunch that somebody spoke the language that they were speaking in tongues with. And so they heard them and knew what they were doing. They were magnifying God. So in the Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit or when you're singing in the Spirit, one of the things that you can be doing and do it very well is giving thanks to God. Right? Because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. You're praying according to the perfect will of God. Praise God. Many, many, many times. I don't do it as much as I need to do it. Or I should be doing it, I should say. But when Paul said in verse 15, what is it then? What's the conclusion? I pray with my Spirit, but I also pray with my understanding. We need both. Let me say that again. We need both. We need both. But I know that I have not prayed in the Spirit as much as I should. And I pray in it a lot, but not as much as I should. Sometimes I believe that when our prayers, now it's kind of like this. Some of you will understand this. You have this brand new steel chainsaw in the box. You got gas, you got oil, you got everything. And, you know, one of those will start right up the first pull. But you decide, well, you know, it's too much trouble to take that out of the shed. I've got a dull axe here, and I'm just going to use the axe to cut that log up. Well, okay, and it'll do it. But it's going to wear you out doing it. But if you were smart, you'd go to the shed and get the saw. Crank that baby up and let it go through it like butter. What I'm saying is that we have the power and the ability to pray in the Spirit, but sometimes we aren't utilizing it. And therefore, to me, that's kind of dumb. Can I say it that way? I just did. It's kind of dumb. And we're going to explain why that is and just think about some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And when I mean that, I mean exactly what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 when it says, "And they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." What does that mean? That means that our bodies are moving and the Holy Spirit from in our spirit is giving us words to speak. But I've known many people that I've tried to pray for to be filled with the Spirit, and you could sense the Spirit of God all over them. In fact, it's almost like they were, you know, standing so tense because they didn't want to pray on their own. They didn't want to force it. They didn't want to be phony about it. But here's the deal. The Spirit of God gives you the utterance, but if you don't move your lips, if you don't give it air, if you don't allow the words to come out, can I give you an example of that? I've got some more points to speak, but if I stood up here for the next few minutes and just went like this, I have the utterance, but I got to open my mouth, right? And so praying in the Spirit is like that too. And sometimes, watch this, it's the Holy Spirit, but you're involved too. You have to be willing to do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come out and force the words to come out of you. You have to be in cooperation with it. But let's go to Jude chapter 20, or Jude verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 20. Never laugh at the preacher. Jude 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." And this building up means edifying. It means charging. When you pray in the Spirit, you're using your that language that God gives you, the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up. Yeah. What does that mean? It means on the inside, you're charging your battery. Yeah. And sometimes you might not feel anything, you know, and if you pray in the Spirit for a long time, all you might feel is kind of your throat's a little bit raw. But the reality is that you're doing something on the inside. And when it's needed, that charge will be there so that the Holy Spirit can use you in whatever fashion that He needs you. And I'll just tell you, my experience is the more I pray in the Spirit on purpose, discipline, praying in the Spirit, it seems like the more sensitive I am to the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, you know, word of wisdom. I'm more in tune with the Spirit. And for me personally, that's one of the biggest benefits. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm building myself up. Amen. Go back to, I didn't write this one down, but go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll look at this again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." And that mysteries is means divine secrets. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're not praying to one another, you're praying to God. Now look down at verse 4. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. This morning, or this afternoon, when I was getting ready, you know, for the message today, and I kind of had it together, I started praying in the Spirit. Just praying in tongues. You know, ask God to show up tonight and to bless all of you. And I had you in mind when I'm praying. But I don't know everything that needs to be prayed for, but I began to pray in the Spirit. And so my praying in the Spirit is, you know, what I was praying about is happening right now. So the benefit of praying in the Spirit is that I don't always know how to pray. I don't always know what to pray. But I believe with all of my heart that when I'm praying in the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God praying through me according to the perfect will of God for you. Now, there is some confusion, and I think that people get this a little bit messed up. Again, in chapter 14... he's talking about the abuses and everybody coming to church and just praying in tongues for an hour and then, you know, going away and nobody knows what happened, right? But here's what he says in there. He said, if you pray in the, if you have a tongue in a service, then pray that somebody would interpret. Here's the cool thing. You can pray in the Spirit, then ask God to give you the interpretation of what you're praying for. What does that look like? That means you've been spending some time in the Spirit, just praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and then say, Holy Spirit, would you just show me what I was praying for? And then you get quiet, and He'll show you sometimes. It's really cool. And especially when it's needful for the time. But let's go again to Romans chapter 8. I can't wait for the day that they show up because there's a flame over the roof. Hallelujah. Is that radical? I think it is. I like it. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 28. It says, likewise the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yeah. Now it's a phenomenal thing when you begin to pray. And oftentimes you don't know exactly what to pray. In fact, I will say when you're praying for somebody else, the majority of the time you don't know exactly what to pray for. And what I mean by that is that you might think, well, Sally's got this medical condition and this is what the doctors have said. And so I'm going to pray against what the doctors have said or, you know, pray for in that condition. But the Spirit of God knows that that is tied to something else. And so praying in the Spirit, you're not just praying for that. You're praying for the cause of that. Does that make sense? Or even, Lord, give them wisdom. I don't know it, but you know it. And again, this verse, I just love it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit of God helps our weakness. That word helps there in the Greek, the picture is, it's like the Holy Spirit takes a hold with us together against what the enemy is trying to do to bring evil. So it's like the Holy Spirit shows up and He's on your side of the tug of war. Right? So, but praying in the Spirit puts us in the position to take advantage of that. And I can tell you many times, when you don't know how to pray. Let me tell you this instant. Years ago, I had a decision to make. And it was one of those decisions where you had friends on both sides right? You had scriptural basis on both sides. One are saying, no, keep standing, keep believing. And the other is saying, no, I mean, the situation is such that you should just move on, right? That type of thing. And so I'm confused about it. And I'm praying, and I want to be in God's will. I want God's will. If he wants me to stand for 20 years, I'm going to stand for 20 years, right? Or if he wants me to move on, I want to move on. And so I went to some people that I thought were spiritual, and by the end of that little counseling session, they said, well, boy, you're in a tough place. You could go either way. Well, big help you are, right? Big, wise counsel, you know. But then I went to another man. It was associate pastor of the church that I was going to. And I went into him. His name was George. I said, George, man, I don't know if you can help me, because my last instance with the counselor was not very good. I don't know if you can help me or not, George. And he said, well, listen to what he said. Let's not limit the Holy Ghost. And I went out with the situation that I was in. And he said, well, you need to hear from God. Yeah. I said, George, I don't even know if I hear from him anymore. You ever felt like that? You know, his response to me was, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And then he said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray in the Spirit loud. We're in an office building, paper-thin walls, and, you know, church, I want you to pray. We're going to pray in the Spirit loud. So we're getting after it in his office. And it seemed like it went on for 10 minutes or so. I don't know how long it went on, but it was a while. And we're praying loud, just getting after it. And then he said, now be quiet. See, what happened was, when I was praying in the Spirit, it made my mind shut down a little bit. And it got quiet in the presence of God. When I got quiet, the presence of God filled the room. God didn't tell me then what I needed to do, but I knew how to get to the point where I'd know what to do. So praying in the Spirit and then being quiet, or expecting the Holy Spirit to begin to show you the things that you're praying about, is a tool that you can get answers when you don't know what you should do. Because the Holy Spirit helps with our weaknesses because we don't know what to do. And he'll pull together with us against the very thing that's an obstacle in our lives. Now look at this. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, when you're praying in the Spirit for somebody, you're praying according to the will of God. I don't know how to pray for, you know, Brother Brutus who's in the hospital. I don't know how to pray, but Lord, I can pray in the Spirit. And there have been many times over the years where I've prayed in the Spirit, and it's that groaning thing comes up. And I don't know if you've ever understood this, and I can't explain it fully, but it's almost like you're birthing something in the Spirit. You have that groaning deep inside, and it's called, Paul said it about the Galatians. He said, I've travailed for you again, that Christ would be formed in you. There was a travail. Travail means crying, but a deep gut felt tears. We've all had tears, but there's been a few times in my life where I cried so hard my gut hurt. Amen. Right? Most of the women who've had babies go, yeah, I know what that means. Transition. Right? But watch this. Watch this. The travail, and this groaning in the Spirit, I've had that several times in my life, until there was a breakthrough, a release. And after praying in the Spirit and that release came, I knew in my spirit that I had the answer that I needed. It was a release. So you praying in the Spirit and beginning to practice praying in the Spirit and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to even give you interpretation of what you're praying, you can believe that when you're praying in the Spirit, and like in our prayer group, we'll pray about something in English, and the person that's leading that out, the others may be praying in the Spirit quieter. But what they're doing, they're supporting that, and they're praying according to the perfect will of God, because the Spirit of God and God are one. Are you with me? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Getting that as a lifestyle where you just can't, it's not like you can't stop, but it's, you just want to continue to do it and to do it and to do it and to do it. And so again, there are times where praying as a group, you come to church and everybody, now let's pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. And so everybody starts praying in the Spirit. But oftentimes what that is the pastor, the preacher, whoever is saying, there's something more and I just want to pray this out and I need your help. And so they'll be praying in the Spirit and the Spirit of God will give them the very thing that they need to do, right? And well, let's go back. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This isn't in the notes, guys, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this particular chapter is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, or like I prefer to say it sometimes, it's the way the Holy Spirit shows up. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 12. I was in Second Corinthians and that doesn't work. First Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 10. It says, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of the tongues. What does that mean? And we've seen it here before in church, and it happens every once in a while, but it's when somebody starts speaking out of tongues, but it's not just in the normal, it's more demonstrative than that. And then there's a pause, and then somebody gives in English what was given in tongues. It's tongues and interpretation. So sometimes there'll be a preacher who begins to speak in the Spirit. And you think, well, they're just speaking in the Spirit. And sometimes it'll be a few minutes in the Spirit. But what they're doing is they're giving birth to the utterance that God wants to speak out in English. So they'll pray it out in the Spirit, and then they'll pray it out in the known language. Does that make sense? And I've seen that over and over and over again. And it's really a cool thing. It's really a cool thing. I'll tell you a few experiences that I've had years and years ago. You know, in a big church, I was an usher in this big church, and there'd be a tongue that would come out. And I would get something in my spirit, but I wasn't in a position to really give that out. But the person that gave it out said exactly what was in my spirit. That's kind of cool, isn't it? But I'll tell you another way that this can work out, a supernatural gift of the gift of tongues. And then I'll give you an example of it. There are times when you can be speaking out a language that you don't know, but it's the tongue of another, you know, another people, or right? And so somebody who speaks that dialect will know it. Yeah. I'll give you this story. I read it in a book once. There was a lady, and she was in this nice hotel. I mean, fancy hotel. You know, the kind where they, you know, do the tea thing with the fingers, and you know, just really fancy type hotel. And she was dressed really nice, and she had just recently been filled with the Holy Ghost, and God started using her in different ways. And the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to go over to that lady right over there and speak in tongues. Huh? Yeah, I want you to go over to that lady and speak in tongues. Well, okay. So she walked over and, looking at the lady, began to speak to her in her prayer language and went on for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. Can you just imagine? Tears started coming down this lady's face as she was praying in tongues. Tears just flowing down. And after the gal that went over to her and was praying in tongues stopped, she said, "You don't understand. I'm from the part of Egypt that's up, way up on the Nile River. And we speak a dialect that nobody else on earth speaks. And you just told me the plan of God in my native language." See, praying in tongues is an incredible gift. And I'm not telling you to practice that or to try that, right? I don't want you to go up to somebody at Walmart and just because they look, you know, from a different country or something and think, "Lord, we're going to try this. This will be cool." Don't do that, right? Don't be weird. But be sensitive, because he could do that. He could do that. He could do that. There have been many times when I'm praying for people and I'm laying hands on them, I'll pray in English what I know, but then I'll spend a few minutes praying in the Spirit. And after I'm through praying in the Spirit, then I'll have more to pray in the English because I know a direction to go. Praying in the Spirit. How many have been frustrated knowing how to pray for your kids? Or praying for your loved ones. Or praying for, you know, that brother or sister that just seems like they're so far out there they could never get saved because they're just too weird. Right? You need to pray in the Spirit over them. You need to pray in the Spirit. How do you do that? You mention them by name. I'm not going to use a name that's associated with anybody that I know, but I'm just for practice sake. Lord, I just pray for Alan right now. Lord, Alan's been on my heart. God, I ask you to touch him. I ask you to bless him. I don't exactly know what Alan needs right now, but Lord, I'm just lifting him up to you right now. And Father, I don't know what to pray, so I'm just going to pray in the Spirit for Alan right now. Holy Spirit, help me do this. Lord, just, I'm lifting Alan. And you just continue to pray that out, whether it's for your kids, whether it's for your loved ones that you think there's no way in the world they're ever going to get saved, they're too out there. Nobody's too far for God. And you begin to just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And especially if it starts to seem like it's getting more intense on the inside, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going until you feel a release from that. Does that make sense? Praying in the Holy Ghost. We are a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean? We speak in tongues. We pray in tongues. We believe there's power in the gift of tongues. We don't believe that it went away with the apostles, you know, and all of the early church. It's here today, and it's made such a difference in my life. I didn't know what praying in tongues was. I didn't know what being saved was when I was filled with the Spirit. But I knew after I did it for a while that it put me in a place to be in touch with Him. Amen? Go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. In Isaiah 28, and we're going to start in verse 11. Actually, you know, I'm going to go back to verse 9. You don't have to go back there, guys, but whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he make understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk? Those that just drawn from the breast? For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that they would not hear. With stammering lips. I believe this is talking in tongues. I believe this is talking in tongues. And so what does it mean? That you pray in tongues for a while and then you just get quiet and there's a peace that comes over you. You have anxiety? Does your mind race at night and you can't go to sleep? I just want you to give this a whirl. Don't let the devil win. But if your mind is thought as just going crazy, just begin to pray in the Spirit. And I would suggest that you just have a scripture on your mind. It doesn't have to be 10 verses. It could be, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all. The Lord is my shepherd. And then spend some time praying in the Spirit. And if those voices, you know, keep coming and interrupting, get louder about it. Get louder about it. And if you really want to get louder about it, get Pentecostal about it. Some of you know what I mean. Pentecostals, they'll pray in the Spirit loud. I mean, loud, loud, loud. I don't think you have to be loud, but there's nothing wrong with being loud.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Praying loud in the Spirit. And then just get quiet. Amen. Peace will come. Rest will come if you'll do it. Good. Amen? One other thing. In 1 Thessalonians, we alluded to it earlier, that the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I was just saved. I wasn't saved very long, right? But I read that verse and I said, pray without ceasing. Lord, I got to go to work tomorrow, right? I got stuff to do. I got people to talk to. How in the world can I pray without ceasing? But I was filled with the Spirit. I was just young in the Lord too. I pray in the Spirit. I said, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow at work? And I worked in a shop and I had people working next to me here, people working next to me here, but in my duties going around. But I prayed in the Spirit all day long. But I wasn't going, you know, shun that boy. You know, I didn't do that. I just went, shut the to myself, under my breath, 8 hours praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying without ceasing. What did I pray out? I'm not exactly sure. But I was building myself up. Building myself up. And then again, and we'll kind of close with this. Again, he said, you're praying in the Spirit and you're giving thanks. You're doing it well. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14? And then in Acts chapter 10, it said, and they prayed in the Spirit. They heard them pray in the Spirit and magnify God.
Amen.
Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I sing with the Spirit. There's something about singing in the Spirit that's incredible. And I've been in meetings, and we've had it here to a degree, but when I first got saved, I went to an organizational meeting every month. It was like the third Saturday of the month, downtown Seattle in a hotel room. It was the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. I think there's some still chapters, but they were huge back then. But we'd be there, and there'd be people from all denominations. You know, Baptists, Catholics, Episcopalians, Methodists, you know, Charismatics, Pentecostals. We'd all be there, right? So you'd have nuns in their habits and priests in their, you know, we'd all be in the same room. And we'd sing some choruses, you know. Back then it was, this is the day, this is, you know, a couple of those that we sang to death, right? But then we just start singing in the Spirit. Singing in the Spirit. And then the whole, you know, there's several hundred in this room. Start singing in the Spirit. And all of a sudden there were some harmonies that you couldn't even fathom. And it sounded like there was a heavenly arrangement that was going on. And it was beautiful. And the presence of God just filled the room. So we can pray in the Spirit, but we can also sing in the Spirit. And when you sing in the Spirit, you give thanks well. You magnify well. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. So awesome. Hallelujah. And again, this is the way oftentimes it would start out. And I don't know what you think of Benny Hinn, but as a man could worship. A man who loves worship, and he loves the presence of the Lord, and he loves the Holy Spirit. And he's not the best singer in the world, I'll just tell you that right off, right? But he'll start singing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Questions. Did you sense that? Did you? I did. When I started singing the Spirit, there was the presence of God just began to descend. I don't know if you sensed it or not. I sensed it. But let me just share one verse and then we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13. There's times when the Spirit of God begins to fall and I feel like I'm drinking alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Did you know sometimes when you're praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit, you're singing angel songs. You're singing with the angels, and the angels join in. I believe that with all my heart. So what was tonight for? It was to encourage you, if you've been filled with the Spirit, to begin to use and reuse and spend some time praying in your prayer language. Pray, and you can do it anywhere at any time. Rather than listening to something news on the radio when you're driving in your car, shut it off and just start praying in the Spirit. You'd be much more edified than, you know, listening to those knuckleheads that... Anyway, pray in the Spirit. When you're doing the dishes, pray in the Spirit. You know, when you're confused, pray in the Spirit. When you're happy, pray in the Spirit. When you're sad, pray in the Spirit. And just allow the Spirit of God to begin to give you things and to build you up and to fill you up with Him. Amen? Y'all get something tonight? Father, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. I'm determined to up my prayer life and praying with other tongues. Lord, I thank You for all those that are watching online or will watch it another time. God, I ask You to burn this into their hearts, that we would all step into this very awesome thing that You gave us the ability to do. Help us, Lord, to pray more. We just give You all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. We pray for everybody that's watching online, whether they're hurting or whether they're just whatever need that they have. Holy Spirit, we just thank You for meeting that need in Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's really, really not that difficult to do, but you have to mean it with all of your heart. You just have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be a child of God. So just believe that in your heart and say, Lord, I just believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I receive Him as my Lord, and I'll give Him my life, and I'll walk with Him the best I can for the rest of my life. If you mean that from your heart, your whole eternity just changed. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Amen.